President of the BCTF, Ginny Simms.
With a spark. I think the room has already gone around, so I might as well share it with the rest of you. There was a tiny fire in my suite last night, and it's a signal that this is going to be a really smoky AGM, and we will all make sure of that. This is our 89th annual general meeting, and we're here in Victoria. And I think that's really precipitous at this time. I want to extend a special welcome to those who are attending their first BCTF AGM. And when I started to count up, can I ask the first-time AGM delegates to stand up, please? For many of us in this room, it's our 20th, 25th, 30th, and I've heard for someone it's even their 35th. It's my 16th AGM, and I can tell you that those of you who are attending your first, this is a roller coaster ride, and it's a huge learning experience. For many of us, this meeting is a rite of spring. Our children have grown up at BC Federation meetings, at AGMs. And now it's really nice to see the babies here. And we know that the next generation of BCTF children is coming along. Whether we are beginning or experienced teachers, we are all here out of a shared commitment to an inclusive, democratic vision of public education for all. We've come together from every region of the province. And for some of us, we've even traveled on the ferry to help chart a positive course for our federation and our profession. This meeting is about hope. Over the next few days, we'll be wrestling with some critical issues facing public education today. We will have our differences of opinion, but we are united in our opposition to the BC Liberal government's agenda for public education. And we are united in our determination to continue advocating for our students. We'll be discussing key recommendations on education policy, professional rights, teaching and learning conditions, privatization, social justice, political action, and, of course, bargaining. It's been an intense year since our last AGM. Teachers have struggled to meet the needs of their students, while the government remains in total denial about the problems they have created in our classrooms. The Liberals say there has never been a better time to learn. They deny that class sizes are larger. They deny the erosion of services to students with special needs. They deny that library time is reduced. They deny the cuts to ESL and counseling services, and that these cuts are hurting our kids. They even deny that teachers support their union. Well, we know differently. Throughout this difficult year, the BCTF members and locals have advocated for students and supported one another in professional challenges. At the highly successful Beginning Teachers Conference, we helped to mentor the next generation of teachers. For me, it's always an uplifting experience to attend the conference and meet some of the new members who will help shape the Federation in the future. I'm also happy to announce the launch of an outreach program for new activists, encouraging and supporting younger colleagues to take on their rightful leadership role in this Federation. It reminds us veterans, and there are many of us in the room, why we got involved in the first place, and is a sure sign of renewal in our union. We have abundant experience and knowledge to share with one another. The BCTF is a proud social justice union. That means not shying away from a just cause simply because it might be controversial. It means taking a stand for what is right. It means continuing our steadfast commitment to Aboriginal education. This year, we co-sponsored a major conference on Aboriginal education, and we continue to work closely with the First Nations Education Steering Committee. We have made great strides, folks, but much still needs to be done. We've launched 4 new action groups on issues related to poverty, racism, homophobia, and status of women. All 4 groups are very dynamic, and I'm sure we'll be seeing great work coming from their enthusiasm. And some of you had the pleasure of attending the forum they held this afternoon. We all know how important that work is, especially as the Campbell cuts have shredded our social safety net. We have not been alone in speaking out against these cuts. We have raised our voices with many other unionists committed to building a better BC, one that works for the poor as well as the privileged, for rural as well as urban citizens. Just as we built alliances in the labor movement, so too have we built alliances in our communities, especially with parents and trustees who share our concerns. The Liberals' new mantra is that they are ushering in a new so-called golden decade of prosperity. It almost makes you want to puke. That wasn't in my speech. We have to ask, and as I've traveled around this province, I've used this line often, a golden decade? And for whom? Not for our children. Not for our elderly. Not for our sick and disabled. Not for the women. Not for the folks in the so-called heartlands. And not for the most vulnerable in our society. In fact, the Liberals' new era has only been golden for the elites of the corporate world. In last month's pre-election budget, they announced their goal is to make BC the best educated, most literate jurisdiction on the continent. What a wonderful goal. Strange, isn't it, how they have consistently undermined the very conditions needed to reach that goal. The budget contained no surprise for teachers, as the increase of $150 million for next year was already announced. Of course, we always welcome the additional funding. It's sorely needed. But don't forget, the $150 million pales by comparison to the $420 million lost between 2001 and 2005. This year alone, the downloaded costs in terms of hydro, salary, MSP premiums, and pension increases totaled over 106 million. You can do the math. I have no doubt that these dollars are only in the education budget because of the energetic and persistent advocacy from teachers, parents, and trustees over the past 3 years. Congratulations. The Liberals have created a crisis of school closures unprecedented in the history of public education in this province. With 113 public schools closed since 2001 and more slated to close this June, the Education Minister's fine words about the school being the hub of the community ring very hollow, especially to more than 14,000 students displaced from those schools. Shame on this policy. There was some good news this week out of Langley, where parents and teachers were able to save an elementary school from closure. It was a tight 4-3 vote on the board, but they did manage to keep their kids' schools open. Bravo to them. But let's take a look at what's happened to the other 113 schools. Many have already morphed into private schools or businesses. Isn't that convenient? At least 20 are now in private hands. And this was the most shocking for me. One of the schools was listed on eBay for sale. One of our schools listed for sale on eBay. That's a shocking signal, of the hidden agenda of this government, privatization, either by legislation or by stealth. The privateers have taken government, and we see their damage across the province. BC Rail, BC Hydro, healthcare, and the list goes on to include public education. Last fall, we got clear evidence of this. Through a leak, we learned of a detailed blueprint for privatizing and contracting out education services across the Fraser Valley. Imagine our dismay to read the proposal to create private entities to deliver all kinds of services: financial, administrative, labor relations, maintenance, and most importantly, student support services. Privatizing education services will inevitably create deeper inequities between have and have-not schools. Privatization threatens the stability of public education because it undermines the ability of locally elected school boards to serve their communities and to meet the students' needs in those communities. After all, they're not called for-profit enterprises for nothing. They make their profits at the expense of services to students. We believe that the Liberals plan to do away with local school boards and impose a handful of larger districts, similar to the health board regions. A key theme of this AGM will be privatization, and our duty and responsibility to respond to the growing threat. Our task force members are bringing forward a comprehensive package of recommendations for discussion on Tuesday. Many of you attended our second Public Education Not For Sale conference on privatization and commercialization in our schools. Keynote speakers from Britain, Brazil, the United States, and across Canada gave us a much deeper understanding of the global nature of this problem. Through our international solidarity work, too, we see the sell-off of public institutions wherever neoliberal governments exist. Teachers in other developed countries, and even more so in the less developed nations, also see their schools and their unions under attack. All around the globe, we see teachers facing similar pressures. The BCTF is widely respected in the many countries where we have been able to provide leadership and resources. We currently have programs in 17 countries in Latin America and Africa, and will expand into South Asia in the future. In the wake of the horrendous tsunami on Boxing Day, an event that shocked us all, the BCTF pledged $50,000 to humanitarian relief, and that was on top of the dollars that you donated both individually and through the locals. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you. At that time, we also made a big commitment, and we have to remember the commitment we made. And that was to develop a longer-term plan of involvement in helping rebuild public schools in the stricken regions. The outpouring of support from BC students and teachers demonstrated a phenomenal effort by one and all. It is through this kind of work that we all learn, once again, how interconnected we all are wherever we live. Last year, I had the privilege to travel to Porto Alegre on your behalf in Brazil to attend the Education International meeting. It was great to reconnect with our friend Tulis Nexe from the South African Democratic Teachers Union. Our friendship and solidarity goes back a long way to before the end of apartheid. When he was elected president of EI, Tulis acknowledged the role of the BCTF in helping him and other South Africans become the education leaders they are today. Your federation has also been active in the Ideas Network, joining with other unions from North, South, and Central America to support women in leadership roles and to oppose privatization and the expansion of the free trade agreements to include education. I am always so impressed with the commitment and courage of teacher activists wherever I go. Many are prepared to take incredible risks in the fight for a quality public education system. Some, on a daily basis, put their lives at risk. And they do that because of their commitment to public education and to their students. One of the most worrisome aspects of the neoliberal ideology is its data-driven agenda to underfund, destabilize, and privatize. Folks, we know that's the agenda. We see this trend clearly here in BC. Accountability contracts, constant data collection at the classroom level, increased paperwork, more standardized testing, etc., etc. A growing concern is the effect this data madness has on teaching. We know that it steals the creativity out of the classroom and puts incredible, unhealthy stress on our students. We are sadly in the midst of a relentless drive towards standardization in this province, and that limits our ability to meet our students' needs. It also means that as teachers, our work is increasingly deprofessionalized as we lose more and more of our ability to make those critical, child-centered decisions about how the students we teach are to learn. Add to that latest management fad, teacher supervision. The result is that we have a government-inspired, bureaucrat-driven campaign to turn teaching from a profession into a job. That's why your executive committee is asking this AGM to resist this trend to deprofessionalization and to assert a vision of teaching that is best for our kids.